time for Microbrew, the Milwaukee Brewers podcast from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Still the dead of winter, but we have some things to talk about. Hey, the Brewers finally signed somebody, so there's at least that much to talk about. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the podcast, and across the way from me is my Milwaukee Journal Sentinel colleague, Kurt Hoge. He is the beat reporter covering the Milwaukee Brewers. You may have read his mailbag the other day at jsonline.com. So we're going to talk about some of that stuff. We've got some bold predictions for the upcoming season. I know it's, you know, hey, now that we're in 2023, we can actually start looking at the 2023 season. We've also going to go over some well-tread ground at this point, which is some of the things you talked about in your mailbag. Why haven't they done anything? You know, we did say on the last podcast that we would give General Manager Matt Arnold until January 1st. He had that grace period after making what we think is a really, really, really great trade for William Contreras. And guess what time it is, Kurt?
It was January 1st, but they did nothing until then. They did nothing in that, but right as midnight struck, they did something? Question mark. Do not confuse this with an emergency pot.
There is no emergency.
This is not the Wade Miley, parentheses, reported emergency pot.
Yeah, there's not much to be emergent about, but the recent developments are, again, unconfirmed at this point, but Wade Miley, former Brewers left-hander, a guy that I very much loved covering in 2018, is supposedly coming back to the Milwaukee Brewers. And the Brewers also acquired Bryce Wilson, who formerly a really highly regarded prospect. He's coming from Pittsburgh, did not have success on the big league level that sort of was foretold in his prospect status, but, you know, intriguing. And we could talk about that. But the thing everyone wants to talk about is why the Milwaukee Brewers have not signed anybody. It's pretty much worded just like that.
That's right.
And, you know, at this point in the offseason, there aren't a lot of big ticket free agents available. The guys that they would be adding or signing, if we're talking just purely the free agency route, probably not difference makers, or at least not to the point that you want to be spending big bucks on them. But I think there's a little bit of frustration. I mean, they did pull off this trade to upgrade at their, I think arguably their weakest position on the field by getting catcher William Contreras. But they did not seemingly involve themselves in much of a push to get anybody else, a third baseman, another starter, or a reliever. And I'm talking about high-level guys, not necessarily the Wade Mileys of the world, who could have some benefit. We'll talk about that. But you tried to assuage some of the people when they responded to your query for mailbag questions, and I don't know, maybe just give a summary of sort of what things you said in the mailbag and how you sort of laid it out there for fans that are a little bit antsy that the Brewers just haven't done much, really almost nothing in free agency to this point.
Yeah, I don't know how much I assuaged people. I think I did a little bit when someone was like directly make me feel better.
What a great question, though.
And so, which I'm feeling optimistic. I'm gonna be after I answer your question here, I'm gonna shift tones completely and be optimist, Kurt.
We're gonna do that on this podcast.
Yeah, it's gonna happen. But
I'm not sure people tune in for the optimism. But you know what? I can get on board with that. We can do that.
I think people could use it right now.
I think so too. Because it's January.
I know the winter, spring is for optimism. Winter, I don't really know, but it's more fun to be like have like some sort of sunshiny outlook on your
team.
That's
right.
So we'll get there. But for now, there's still time, obviously, and I think if there's going to be an impact player added, it's going to be via trade. There's still a couple guys out there in free agency that would have an impact, but I wouldn't classify them as impact players at all. The Brewers are still projected for around 119 or so, 120, 115, somewhere in that ballpark, including their arbitration salaries. So there should still be room to operate. And I think that's where the frustration comes in, is some of the unknown of are they going to reach last year's payroll? Or are they going to actually cut their payroll in the middle of a direct contention window? And they openly talk about it being they want to win a World Series and they think they can. So just being unable to really add to the roster at all by free agency, I mean, Wade Miley, like you said, is fine. It's a good add for depth. The starting rotation continues to need that. But just missing out pretty much on doing a whole lot else. And even, you know, they got Jesse Winker back, but even in that, you did shed some salary with Colton Wong and gave away a good player as well, although I think they'll still be fine at second base this year. So, yeah, I mean, I think the frustrations at this point are reasonable, but like I said, there's still time left. They don't report to spring training for, what, 5-6 weeks? And sometimes trades take a little bit of time to progress, and players who you don't expect to be on the market wind up on the market. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
The Brewers have had some success in the past getting the, I don't want to call them bargain basement guys as a denigration to the players they've added, but they've waited out sort of that the stupid money spending of the part of free agency, and then gotten guys late, you know, as late as spring training in some cases. And there's a couple of interesting data points the last couple of years. Last year, they signed Andrew McCutchen in March. The year before that, it was Jackie Bradley Jr. Neither one of those guys worked out. I would say that at the time, though, they made a little more sense than they ultimately did. I think they probably, you know, it seemed like Mark Attanasio indicating that, you know, he was kind of proud that the Brewers maybe stretched their budget a little bit to get an Andrew McCutchen. I guess that wasn't as smart an acquisition in my mind as Jackie Bradley Jr. was the year before. I thought that that could work out. He woefully underperformed any sort of expectations offensively, still solid defensively, but wasn't a guy that the Brewers could rely on. And Andrew McCutchen, similarly, I think, you know, we talked a lot about him and how he was still looked at as sort of a cleanup hitter slash designated hitter type and didn't live up to that. But so those data points are interesting because it shows that they're at least willing to give out decent deals late in the offseason, late, you know, right before spring training. Maybe that's a sign that the owner is willing to spend a little bit more than otherwise, or it's a sign that the owner liked the idea of adding a veteran name player and was willing to chip in for those players and those players alone. It's kind of hard to read them in a vacuum and know whether or not that is the lack of spending on other players is an owner-driven decision or just a front office-driven decision that the player evaluation dictates that they are going to give X amount of dollars to the players that are on the market. They will not supersede that. They will not go beyond their parameters unless, like I said, it's for someone that they consider special, like a McCutchen or Bradley Jr., even though that didn't work out. So as you've covered this team, do you have a read on that? Because so much of the blame is going toward Mark Attanasio. I think we've reached a revelation point in baseball at large where it's like your owner could always be spending more. And so maybe there's a frugality here that people are frustrated with. Or is it the front office who just like is in lockstep with the vision of we don't need to spend a lot. We have our guys who are homegrown, who we can afford at this point, and we don't want to go overboard and get, like a Justin Turner, spend at, you know, what seems like a reasonable deal on the surface, but we don't think he's worth that much money, and we are not going to commit those resources because we can get X percentage of Justin Turner with an internal option for just a fraction of the cost. I'm sure the answer is a little bit of both, but like, how do you interpret how the Brewers operate through this offseason?
Yeah, I think you hit it there at the end. It's not,
always a little bit of both.
It's a little bit of both for sure. The interesting thing is that, and this is my question to ask, is both David Stearns and Matt Arnold have said, maybe even repeatedly, that in terms of spending in free agency, Mark Attanasio and the ownership group have been more than willing to give them whatever they need. If that's true, then you just have a front office that's completely averse to any semblance of risk in free agency, which does follow along sort of with their how they foresee sort of their view on how players age and sort of the market they're in free agency, and kind of like that just lines up with what they've done. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't see a way in which a major league front office, general manager, president of baseball operations, whatever, would want to or just be fully inclined to almost completely sit out free agency, basically over a 2-year span. I mean, they did sign McCutchen last year. But for the most part, in terms of total money spent, they're at the bottom of the barrel in the last 2 years combined. So it's like you said, I think it's a bit of both. There's certainly a strict budget set that we know for sure, and the Brewers know that they're operating in the front office, and management know that they're operating within this strict set of confines. And then what I read into it when they say that they can go, that Mark will meet whatever, you know, they want or needs, like they're willing to push it a little bit, willing to stretch it when asked, when it's brought up, but for the most part, they are in lockstep.
Yeah, that's interesting. It feels like kind of an argument we've had around Aaron Rodgers, who's so averse to throwing interceptions because he feels it's so costly, And then, you know, at some point it was like, well, maybe you should throw a little more recklessly because it could yield bigger gains, even if it means a couple more interceptions. The Brewers seemingly operating that way, understanding that a bad contract, a bad five-year contract, will cripple this franchise much worse than not pursuing anyone on those five-year contracts or whatever. So
even a bad three-year deal can be a hindrance. And let's be real about this. The Brewers are at the very bottom of the league in terms of like TV revenue, which is a big factor in, you know, how much teams can spend. Like you compare what they get to the Dodgers and the Yankees. But then on the same hand, you know, like I've written about, the Brewers were between what, 12 and I think they averaged 15th in payroll between, I want to say, like 2009 and 2014, which they had like one good team in that run.
That's a good point.
Really it. A lot of those teams were not like, you went into the year thinking they're probably not going to contend this year. They were still middle of the pack. You know, they were able to spend some money on extensions. And I mean, they extended a lot of those guys and they signed Aramis Ramirez. And now they're sitting in around 20, 21. Baseball revenues have for sure gone up. The Brewers are not immune to that. There's payouts coming from Baseball Advanced Media. I think the last of which came in this year. I mean, there's revenue sharing. So I guess my stance in general is to believe, you know, you believe that the Brewers do have market constraints, but is it really to the degree that they operate under? Unless proven otherwise, I'm going to believe that there's some more room to possibly operate in there. Because you see what other teams do, and not that the Brewers and Padres, for instance, are apples to apples comparisons. And the Brewers certainly are, you know, like a team like the Reds or the Pirates would be doing this with the Brewers, which is the funny part of it. They would be like, look at what the Brewers do. Why can't we do that? But the Padres just operate completely like they're operating as if, you know, baseball money is fake money. And I think a lot of owners do kind of see their teams as luxury items. And the Brewers are run much, much more like a business that's meant to churn out, work on a profit. Maybe not churn out's the right word, but work on a profit and bring back money to the investors and the owners.
Yeah. And it should be pointed out, too, the Brewers are not the only team in this. Like, Seattle had a great year last year. They haven't signed hardly anybody. They've got Seattle fans. Obviously, they traded for Colton Wong, but, like, they are in a similar situation where they're frustrated that no moves have been made. And Tampa Bay perpetually competes and perpetually does not participate in the free agent signing. I mean, obviously, there's going to be a guy here or there, much like it is with the Brewers, but there are ways to have success. You can also fairly argue that, sure, there's ways to have success. You could even go to the World Series, but the stars really have to align, and then you know, you really want to take more bites of the apple, you got to spend more and put yourself in greater position. And then again, you bring up the stretch when the Brewers were really bad and they actually were more relative payroll than other teams in the league, and it didn't get them anywhere. So overall, interesting stuff. Now we do have these couple pitchers, new faces to talk about. Bryce Wilson, as we mentioned earlier, and Wade Miley, who is, again, not a done deal yet, but good depth. I mean, the Brewers, like as many options as they have in the starting pitching rotation, they also relied pretty heavily on Jason Alexander last year. Like, there is always need for more guys. There's always a guy who's going to soak up a ton of innings, and that you may not have anticipated. So getting a guy like Wade Miley, I think makes a ton of sense. Love Wade Miley. He's a goofy guy and fit in really well on that 2018 team. Maybe there's maybe there's even a little bit of like trying to reclaim sort of the clubhouse vibes. I don't quite know if that's what you get with Wade Miley, but he's certainly a fun guy and easy to be around. And then this Bryce Wilson signing is more of a reclamation concept. I don't know for sure that he is a guarantee to make the team, but it certainly seems like that is the initial plan. Give me some thoughts on these guys and just where you expect them to contribute and how big a deal you think it is that they did bring in these guys.
When they traded for Bryce Wilson, he was on waivers. He had been DFA'd.
Yeah, that was a cash deal. That's like an acquisition.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I mean, pretty much like a waiver claim, essentially. It's tough to see a path or a rotation spot for him. I mean, he did start 25 games for the Pirates, I think it was last year, but
oh, he'll start games this year.
He's going to start?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, not like regularly, but there will be starts.
I mean, that's the plus of their rotation depth right now is you look at it and you've got a bunch of guys who you feel much better about starting a game than Jason Alexander or Chichi Gonzalez or Ethan Small last year, which was one of the big downfalls of the team. So
completely forgot about Chichi Gonzalez.
You cannot complain about – you cannot have complained at any point about a Jason Alexander start and then complain about the Wade Miley signing. Those – you are not allowed to do that.
That's fair. Great way of looking at it, yeah.
Unless that's simply not how it works. So I think the Wilson signing or claim slash trade was interesting. I think he might have a potential path to a bullpen role. I mean, there's still some starter potential there. He throws a bunch of pitches. But with the sinker can possibly be a, like the four seam's been a really bad pitch for him, but the sinker has been all right. And then he's kind of debuted this splitter late last year. That seems to be an okay pitch. And he had a good changeup coming up as a prospect. I don't know too much about how the changeup played this last year, but, just those two things. And then he was talking in a short media call with us yesterday about how he felt like he got away from who he was as a pitcher. So he followed up on that, and he just talked about how he was a power pitcher coming up, and he sort of turned into trying to be more of a perfectionist in the big leagues and a finesse guy that made every pitch perfect, and it had to be in a certain spot instead of just trying to attack and challenge hitters with his overpowering fastballs. And that was interesting to me. I mean, that's – I think there could be something there and like an entire mentality change, and that change leads to a different way of pitching, you know, different way of sequencing and locating, and there could be something there. So Bryce Wilson's an interest. I mean, I liked him a lot as a prospect too. So it's just that he has shown very, 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 very little of like the things that made him a good prospect. So there's a lot of work to do there. With the Wade Miley signing, it's going to be tough for him to make the opening day roster, I think. It's going to have to be in a bullpen role. I mean, the Brewers have what?
I can see that.
7 legitimate starting options right now.
Yeah.
Plus, you know,
Ashby, who is already maybe a swing guy if you
Yeah, there's some there's some conversation to be had there about, like, would Ashby be a really good
Well, you know, I think he's a dominant
guy.
Closer waiting to
happen.
Yeah,
or you know? Like a swing role, kind of like a previous version of Freddie Peralta.
I mean, they did this with Peralta, with Burns, with Woodruff. Like, this is not an uncommon
Aaron
path.
Ashby was not supposed to start as much as he did last year. That, right. Like, I think the Brewers would tell you that as well. That was not the plan. So back to rotation depth there is they did not want Aaron Ashby making, 20-whatever starts. They wanted him in the bullpen for a lot of the year. So, yeah, they've got a lot of starters. And Wade Miley, you know, if the physical turns out and everything, you know, you're signing him to be in your rotation, so you think he's probably that fifth guy. Maybe the Brewers trade from the rotation, but I don't know if that's – it depends. It depends on what you're getting in return. I think I floated a Jorge Polanco trade. was it on here or in the
– Probably here.
In a story I might have done it as well.
So, that'd be nice. As far as people that are still available, I mean, there are – you know, we talked about Taylor Rogers would be cool, and he ends up going to San Francisco.
Like, a lot of money.
There's not – a lot of relievers on this team yet that you really can rely on? I mean, there's a lot of intriguing options.
A lot of intriguing options, yes.
Alex Claudio is back, by the way. That's another minor move.
Say, interesting you said that right after intriguing options.
Those are two separate thoughts. I mean, no offense to Alex Claudio. That's not who I meant. There are a lot of possibilities here, but I don't know if there's a real sense of, you know, you couldn't name like 7 guys that are going to be just in the bullpen to start the year yet. And there, I feel like there's probably an addition still to be had. You know, Brian Anderson is still out there. Also, not the announcer, the third baseman. So, I don't know if that's still a possibility on the table. But you know, there are a couple names that you could see them going after. And again, we're not talking about difference makers, or at the very least, we're talking about players who are, you know, injured or coming off down years. You know, things that might make them less attractive on the open market. But I don't know, anybody still ring the bell that you think could be a Milwaukee Brewer?
Well, I'm not going to say he could because I'm wrong about everything.
Yeah, we're batting at zero.
But A.J. Pollock, very well, I think you should be.
Yeah. There's
no reason not to. You need a right-handed hitting guy who can play corner outfield, hit for some power.
Again, we operate under the assumption that Jesse Winker is a DH, and I'm still not sure that's what the Milwaukee Brewers are doing. But
well, if you look at the depth chart right now, and they need someone to play right field.
They do. Yep.
I mean, Tyrone Taylor can play right field, but like, Then again, Jesse Winker, I was going to say, against left-handers, who's going to play? And then I realized, oh, yeah, Jesse Winker. Yeah. Oh, they really do need a right-handed bat out there, another one.
Yeah, I could see that working out. Or Adam Duvall. I mean, did Adam Duvall sign yet? Has that happened? I mean, I think he's 34 years old, so I don't know about
no,
that.
No, that would be great just so, you know, you could do the Duvall.
Yeah, he was not as effective last year as he had been the year before, but I guess there is still an outfield possibility here. All right, so let's that kind of is a good springboard into making some predictions looking ahead to the 2023 season. It's obviously really early, so we don't quite know what the team is going to look like, but we have some pretty good sense at this point. So we wanted to make some predictions, some fearless predictions, and like you said, mostly optimistic predictions.
I'm not really feeling super. I'm going to feel optimistic for the next, half an hour? I
can do it. Okay. All right. Yeah. For a half hour here, we are going to be optimistic. So you threw some things out that did kind of, I guess, cause me to raise an eyebrow a little bit. So get us started. What fearless prediction do you have that's going to lift the spirits of the Milwaukee Brewers fans out there?
Here's the thing. Okay. I feel like the last 20 minutes I've been like rational hat. What are they doing approach? And most of the things I'm going to say are like legitimate thoughts that I do have as well. Like,
This team is not goofy.
This team is not bad.
No, they're fine. I can't say, oh my gosh, this team is a playoff team, because they aren't, in my opinion. They're on the cusp, but
almost a playoff team last year. They were, I don't want to say good, but they were pretty good. And I think there's a lot of reason that they will be better this year.
Will they be more exciting? Because man, they were tough to watch most of the year. They were just barely getting by.
What would make them more exciting?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because they certainly play a ton of stressful games. Now, does that equal exciting, or is that the opposite?
Like,
is
stress?
Is it more exciting to just win 8-2, or to win 4-3? And then
I think you're right. I said this at the beginning. This ship has sailed, but it would be nice if they had just a new big ticket personality out there. And I guess William Contreras will be that guy. But, you know, I was hoping they would have somebody, whether it is a member of the pitching staff or a member of the lineup, that truly you can like look at and say, okay, that's your cleanup hitter. That's somebody who's going to mash, somebody that you can really rely on, who's sort of a new face, new energy. They do not have that. They may not even need that thing, but definitely it's going to feel like they're running it back to a pretty significant degree.
Okay, well, I think Jesse Winker's going to mash.
You do? Okay, well, let's get started with the optimism.
So, yeah, I mean, that's one reason for optimism.
He did not mash last year.
Well, no, he did not. But there is I think that's the aberration. The dude has hit the ball in his career.
There was a time a couple years ago where I was trying to rank the players. I guess he would have been a left fielder at the time, the players at that position. And I looked at the numbers and I thought, like, this was when Ryan Braun was still pretty solid. Like, there's a really good argument that he's better than Ryan Braun at this stage in his career. I want to say this was 2018 when he was with the Reds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do remember there's like, I don't think people understand how good he is. But obviously that's a couple years ago and he has had this bad year. But keep going. Tell me more about Winker.
I wasn't going to go on about Winker.
Well, just
I can go on about Winker.
Go on about optimism, whatever.
Whatever. The thing that the Brewers have, I guess, going for them is there's a lot of players who I would expect to match or exceed their performance from last year. Whether it's underlying stuff, you know, I think Rowdy Tellez is like the big name about he's going to, you know, the shift was taking away tons of hits, the power is real, et cetera, et cetera. I think Willie Adames is going to have a better year on offense, and he just hit 30 homers. It might not quite be the power production, although it very well could be. I think he's going to have a better year. The starting rotation is a big one. A healthy Brandon Woodruff, a healthy Freddie Peralta goes a long way. Corbin Burns should be expected to replicate what he's got. Aaron Ashby is my breakout candidate for a player at the big league level this year. The underlying stuff for him was really, really good. He's just got a couple things maybe to figure out and got pretty unlucky as well. The bullpen is where I do have a lot of questions, but I also think the bullpen is the easiest area to address, whether it's late in the offseason or in the season or whatnot. So, yeah, I think, I mean, they're basically kind of running back the same idea of an offense of, like, nobody sucks.
Right.
And they should turn out to be, like, a top 12 offense in runs scored. And everyone was hammering the offense all last year because – but I think the problem was, like, when you only watch one team for the most part, your mind does not properly acclimate itself with the run environment as a whole. Nobody was scoring last year. Games across the league were like that and just ugly.
Yeah.
And the Brewers were not immune to that. So they didn't score as many runs as you'd would want or expect. But relative to all the other teams, they were fine. And they were not the offense wasn't the problem. It was the problem at times. It could have been better. A better offense certainly would have gotten them the playoffs. But relative to expectations, the pitching was what missed out big. And I just see no way that the pitching isn't the rotation's not a top five or top six.
Yeah,
unit this year.
You know, let me just kind of double down on that. That's why we have OPS Plus, which tells us where things are relative to the run environment. And they were, you know, you look at Baseball Reference, there's three spots in the lineup where they were below average and just slightly below in two cases. That would be at third base with Jace Peterson soaking up the majority of those opportunities. And Andrew McCutchen at DH. And again, those guys are just barely below average. And then you've got the catching position, which was very below average. They've addressed catcher. We're not going to have the same DH in terms of Andrew McCutchen moving on. So presumably it's Jesse Winker or someone. There'll be a different option there. And third base, guys like Luis Arias and Mike Brasso did have above average OPS pluses, significantly so, actually. So you figure no matter what they do at third base, even if it's some combination of guys, but if those guys are involved, they will have upgraded there. And we do forget with the rotation that Woodruff missed a really huge chunk of time, and Freddy Peralta missed most of the season, and probably even at the end when he was looking pretty good, still working his way back from a pretty significant injury. We know that Ashby is, we don't know, but Ashby's going to get better. He's still probably getting up to speed for the type of the type of talent that he has. So yeah, all those things probably should improve. And I don't know about second base because you subtract Colton Long, who was a really good offensive player, so that they're going to have to they'll probably lose a little bit there, but probably gain that much back at some of these other spots. So if you do want to take an optimistic tack, that's where you look. Even though there aren't many sort of difference maker new faces in my mind, there are a couple, and there are probably some opportunities for them to get better. I think Willy Adames will have another great year next year, and his year is a puzzle. 31 homers, an on-base percentage below 300, and he comes out in the wash decent, especially for a shortstop who's, I think, very good, and when they take away the shift, you're going to need a rangy shortstop. We've got, I keep saying we on accident. I'm not trying to imply it's doing that mistake where you use your team and use we, but the Brewers do have that option with Willy Adames, so he'll still be an elite defensive player at a time when you need one more than ever, and I do think he's going to be their best player. You have another option as their best player. You got to share that with me.
His name is Christian Yelich.
You're going to have to defend this one. I don't see it. But
what
tell
do
me.
What do I have to defend?
Well, I mean, just give me your thoughts on this.
I'm up against the data here, but
the data's not good.
Here's the thing, man. It's just I don't know what it is. I don't know. I think Christian Yelich is going to find it again.
So it's just something you feel in your bones.
I gotta have some rationale on top of it. I can't just throw a bones feeling out there, but that's kind of what it is.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, he's hitting the ball hard still. I think so much of his struggles are tied to health in the back. And so who knows how that plays out, but I think it's overlooked that Christian Yelich in a bad year. A relatively bad year was still worth 2.5 wins probably.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
There's a very now how healthy he can be and how much he plays are the questions, but there's a legitimate path there to a 125 WRC plus if he can hit for some power.
Yeah,
he's still hitting the ball hard. He's still gonna be one of the highest average guys on the team. He's taking his walks. He gives you great value on the bases. Why not? Why not? And the All answer right. to that is because he hasn't done it for 3 years, Kurt. And I understand that.
Well, it's 2.5. The 2020 season is crazy, even though it does seem like it was an inflection point here in his career. But, yeah, I don't know. I think this is probably the first year where Brewers fans are going to go in not expecting it. So maybe it's like a movie. You go in with just no expectations. You wind up liking the movie a lot more. I think we're finally past the point where it's like, that's a two-time MVP. He's not that guy anymore. So he can still make a difference. I do think he was underappreciated a little bit this year. You know, there were a lot of some of the same issues that plagued him, but it was an uptick offensively. Mm-hmm. And, you know, defensively is another story. But, like, he is still one of their best offensive players. We kept saying this.
Correct. Yes. And this gets into my whole thing about Yelich's contract, which let's put a pin in that.
Okay.
I'm going to get to that next. I think Christian Yelich could be an all-star this year.
Okay. That's great.
That's where I'm standing on this issue.
Yeah, Zips projection.
The Zips are bad.
They don't think
the
so.
The Zips are not good.
You don't like that. You don't like that.
I mean, I like Zips.
Oh, so you're saying the projections foretell doom. It's not that they're bad projections.
No, it's just, yeah, I mean, it's projections. We don't need to go in the whole spiel about what they are and aren't. I'm a big fan. I like projections a lot, but this one especially was a lot of, like, player comps, so they are not going to, if I'm remembering this right, they're not going to use, like, as much of the MVP level Christian Yelich as some other projections are, which is why sometimes you'll see him projected for some really good numbers, and you're like, I haven't seen that in the last few years. Where are they getting that from? Well, it's because it's still baked into his career profile, and I guess that's kind of what I'm getting at, though, is, like, it's still in there, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen it in flashes for sure.
Yeah. Here's another thing that I've really sort of sorted out myself looking through these projections, which again, take or leave them, but I guess I kind of thought there might be a level of excitement to some of the younger guys coming up. Namely, I mean, we've talked about these guys, Bryce Tarang, Sal Frelick, certainly Garrett Mitchell from last year, Joey Weimer as another possibility in the outfield. I think maybe I overvalued, you know, I was imagining that they would get their feet wet in 2023 and be serious contributors by 2024. I don't know if the projections really see that. I don't know if the Brewers system is maybe full of that, like, major league ready talent yet the way that I thought they would. Like, they're major league ready talent. It's just I don't know if they're going to be difference makers now or really at any point. Like, I think maybe the Brewers not having a good farm system for the last several years started to overvalue this wave of guys that were coming in. And again, this is just projections. Those guys could all be all-stars. But, you know, I sort of maybe am tempering my expectations for them. I don't know, and I think you maybe wrote this, I don't know if Sal Frelick now is going to make the opening day roster. It seems probably not. If they've truly chosen Garrett Mitchell over Sal Frelick, that's probably the situation. And Tarang has a better chance to contribute to this team right away, but I don't know. Like, I guess where are you at on the young guys? And I don't mean overall in the system, just for the year 2023. It doesn't have to be just these guys. There could be guys later in the season who make an impact. Robert Gasser is a guy who probably would at least get a cup of coffee later in the year. But do you think they get any contributions from that younger crowd?
Here's my sort of outlook on the young guys. One of the big things missing from last year was players that came up from the minor leagues and were able to contribute.
That's been the case for a couple years in a row, but yes, you're
absolutely
right.
Now I fear the Brewers are jumping a little too far on the other side, which is we need a bunch of rookies to play well. I think there's a decent floor, like in center field, between Mitchell and Frelick and whatnot, and then, you know, but then you're like looking at them as the everyday and Tarang as maybe the everyday guy at second right now. And that's just asking for a lot, I think, as opposed to them sort of supplementing out the rest of the roster, going out, getting another right fielder. And then you've got a deep outfield group that also involves Tyrone Taylor, Tyrone Taylor has hit above league average, mm-hmm, and plays a pretty good center field. And I feel like that kind of gets lost sometimes. So yeah, looking at projections for prospects is a very dangerous game anyway, because it relies on a lot of, you know, like the just basically their minor league numbers. And there's so much noise in those things. Like Sal Frelick, I would expect Sal Frelick to be an average big league hitter as a rookie.
Okay.
That's
great.
He doesn't really have the power, but like there's more than enough to make up for it. But then the question is just so much question of the unknown, whether it's, you know, with Sal Frelick's defense, what can he do? Like, is he a true center fielder? Which is, by the way, one of the reasons I just don't think he's going to start on the big league team this year. They're very well probably going to be some sort of competition, especially if he can prove it on defense in camp. But they did call up Garrett Mitchell first for a reason, and they're super high on his defense. So there's that. But yeah, you just asking for a lot from rookies is a tough game to play. If it works out, look, then you're like the Cardinals were last year, where you've got Brendan Donovan coming out of nowhere to be like a four-win player, and Lars Nootbaar is incredible as well. And you weren't expecting that, and it lifts your team to an extremely high level. But if not, you know, they do have some fallback option, not really in the outfield, but in the infield. But you're hitching your cart to that wagon is a bit of a risky game.
Who is in the production department? Who is going to end up with the most starts at second base on this team?
Oh, that's right. I'm being optimistic. Second base.
Because I've got a name that I'm going to throw out here after I hear what you say.
Most starts at second base. Part of me still wants to say it's Luis Urias. Mm-hmm. Like they're going to go get a third baseman. But as it stands, maybe it is Bryce Terang.
Yeah.
Like the defense is so good and such a high floor. And I do have questions about the bat, but like he's hit for some power now in the minors a little bit last year. So yeah, I'm going to go Terang.
What about Keston Hira?
Ooh.
I'm going to throw that one out there. I think, I don't even know if I believe it, but as like a long shot possibility, this could be a time for Keston Hira to truly get, because we talked about, they don't have right-handed power. They don't have people who can hit lefties. Keston Hira is obviously not the best at that aspect, but there is a window to him getting playing time because second base is an option.
Yeah, we have not discussed that.
We haven't discussed much of Keston Hira at all.
I just don't think Keston Hira is like in their second base plans.
I don't think he is.
I think they've
right
seen
now.
Enough of that.
Yeah, and maybe that's true. It seems more likely that he would be kind of a platoon with Rowdy Tellez at first base to some degree.
Yeah, which is
with Tellez getting
we've
more.
We've seen the difficulties of that
yeah.
specific platoon with those guys' profiles.
Right. I mean, I think if they had their druthers, he would be a DH, but he doesn't hit enough like consistently to be the DH. But he had some big moments.
Who's their best hitter last year?
I'm just going to guarantee you that
Who's
he has
their
at least
best hitter?
Yeah, he has at least one major moment in the 2023 season because he seems to be built for that. But
I think the overarching point here is like that Keston Hira still does not have is not a good fit on this roster.
He's not, right?
Aside from the fact that he can still really hit.
But they're not like
and
interested
second,
in
like
moving
second
him around.
Second base, like if they wanted, they could continue to just hammer that peg in.
Mm-hmm.
And see if the offense makes it work. I don't foresee that happening.
And the lack of the shift makes it a little more complicated because now you're asking for more range. You're asking for more dynamic playmaking in the field.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
They went out and got Toro.
Right, Abraham
they
Toro.
And you know,
we haven't probably said Abraham Toro's name enough. There's a chance he ends up as second base guy.
That was the first name that popped in my head, but
yeah.
Yep.
All right. So a long shot that is probably not gonna go anywhere. But thought I would throw that. Give me one more optimistic or otherwise prediction that you have.
I don't know if it's a prediction. Maybe I'll give you another prediction after this. But I did tease it. I teased a little Yelich contract talk.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
So I've formulated this thought in my head over the offseason. The Christian Yelich contract, which is much maligned in the Brewers verse of the Brewers Twitterverse, Brewers online verse, Brewers fandom verse.
I think we could just go with Brewers Universe, actually.
That's why they pay you to do
everything that's old is new again.
To do words. That's a good word. It's not bad.
It's not bad.
In fact, I don't even think it's a hindrance to the Brewers at all.
Interesting.
Yep, hear me out.
Similar issues with the Braun contract. It was just vilified. Even after all these years, it was like,
I think people would love Ryan Braun's production out of Christian Yelich right about now.
Right.
Which is why I think I think he's going to be an all-star, but tangent, he's going to be an all-star this year.
Nice.
And here's the thing. If you take the Christian Yelich contract out of the mix, I'm not entirely sure that the Brewers do anything with that money right now. Down the road, there could be some issues with choosing to pay him instead of like being able to extend some guys. There's three of them that come to mind right now. But for now, those guys are on arbitration salaries, and you take the Yelich contract out of the mix, and the Brewers are spending 25 less million. Okay, sure, like they would certainly reinvest that in other players, other avenues, whether it's trade, free agency, some other extensions, if they had extended a guy last year or whatnot. But in terms of the 2023 team, maybe even the 2024 team, now you're looking at a hole in left field. I guess you could put Sal Frelick out there, but like Christian Yelich, like we've talked about, is still maybe the second best position player on the team in terms of value, right? Like by WAR, It was Adames and then Yelich probably.
And I think Jace Peterson was up there much longer than anyone would have liked.
Yeah, I think you're relying on a lot of public defensive metrics if you're putting Peterson that high in WAR. But I can't agree with that. Jace Peterson was not the same. He was good though. He was good for sure, and especially on defense, he was good. But like Christian Yelich was still the second most valuable player in the position player group. Well, a lot of players there. Second most valuable player on the offensive side or the hitter side. And you take that out, and this is kind of what I think sometimes when he's just like tossed into trade talks as like a bad contract so that the other team's fans can like give up nothing in return because some trade calculator website tells you he's worth just negative value. Like that, he's still a good baseball player. He's going to give you 2 to 3 wins probably on any year, and like that's valuable. And so the Brewers replacing, like they could probably find a way to replace that somehow with the money they're not spending. But it's, I don't think that they necessarily would have just allocated that $25 million to go get, I don't know, Brandon Nimmo or someone else like that would have cost that, or Jose Abreu or something like that. Even then, I think their values are like relatively on the same page when you take into like positional value and age and whatnot. So, yeah.
All right, I'm going to rapid fire before, and we'll wind this down here. I got a few final questions for you. The Brewers announced that they're going to do sort of an abridged winter warm-up type thing. It is a far cry from what we have seen in the Wisconsin Center in the pre-pandemic years, but it is kind of just a small gathering at a kind of a corner bar. Craig Counsell is going to be there, a few players. I find that interesting. I am surprised that they haven't gone back to the winter warm-up. Obviously, the pandemic precluded a lot of those big gatherings, but I can't decide if it would be the type of thing to drum up interest for a team where interest has waned a little bit, or if it's like something to avoid because you just don't want one more sign that interest has waned. I truly don't know. I don't know what the Brewers are planning or thinking about that. But what is your thought about this miniature thing? Are you going? You're probably going to be there.
I'll be there. Todd will be there. Will you be there?
I don't know, man. Hard to say. Probably. I don't know why. If I got nothing else going on, why not?
I don't think I get to partake in the cold brew part of it, though.
No.
Just the hot stove.
No autographs at this thing, so it's not like that type of thing. But pictures and just hanging out, talking Brewers, whatever.
Yeah, come get
it. It could be fun.
Come get your picture with me.
Oh, I like that. Can I get a picture with you?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good.
Well, just get your pictures with Todd.
Yes.
I'm going to volunteer Todd for any pictures.
Yes. Anyone who wants pictures with Todd Rosiak, this is your opportunity.
This is your opportunity, yes.
So, yeah, I didn't know if you had any thoughts about that.
I don't think that the Brewers' lack of on deck is because of, like, they're worried about fan people, like, oh, we're going to look bad because fans aren't coming.
Yeah.
I think they saw, like, nothing's going to look worse than some of the games last year where no one was there. Like, that's already been out in the open. And as you look across the league, like, a bunch of other teams aren't doing one, even teams that you'd think would be. Like, the Mets aren't doing anything. I can't remember. I don't think the Padres are – like, the Padres would be the team to do something. Like, this is the peak of their –
of course, yeah.
Of their fan interest and, like, their franchise history. And I don't think they're doing anything. Like, over half the league is not doing a on-deck fan fest sort of event. So –
yeah.
Maybe just one of those things that the pandemic kind of like it went away because of it. And then afterwards, it's sort of a good reason to
just a hard thing to get back off.
Yeah.
The ground.
To not start it back up.
Yeah.
Big undertaking, big challenge. I don't know who exactly was in charge of running it, but I'm sure that's a lot of work.
Absolutely true. And you've got to get a lot of buy-in from players because obviously they're flying to Milwaukee in the middle of winter, which I'm sure most of them do not want to do. And then, you know, you have a lot of travel complications this year, so that makes things really tough. The last one that they had in 2020 is the same day Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter crash, so it was sort of a massive, weird, surreal ending to the whole thing, and ended up getting comments from players about that, about Kobe Bryant and his legacy. So it was certainly a weird final note. It would be nice to see that come back, but I could understand why it needs a little bit more runway. Okay, one more thing. We have not heard anything about William Contreras since the Brewers traded for him. There's been no press conference. There's been no media availability. There's been no anything? Are you alarmed? Is there any point where that should be a red flag, or is it just like, you know, it's hard? He's probably, you know, he might not be living in the country at the moment, so it's just a little bit more challenging. But like, what do you think of that?
As a media member, I want to scream out that there's been no press conference and this is a big deal. And like, it's certainly worth making note of that they haven't done, you know, a media call, press conference. I don't even know if they need a press conference for it necessarily, but
yeah.
Outside of, I think, really one tweet maybe announcing that they've acquired him, there hasn't been any noise.
I mean, he could be, if we're going to talk about other best players, he could be their best player
next
year.
He could be one of the – I mean, he was an all-star catcher last year. So it's worth noting. I don't really think it's a big story or, like, spending too much time thinking about, but it is interesting. I mean, like, Bryce Wilson was on the phone with us
– immediately.
The next day. The Brewers, so basically, reading between the lines here, they make an effort to get, you know, Owen Miller was on the phone. Players that get acquired that have some sort of like big league track record usually have some sort of media call or something along the lines. Like Jesse Winker, I think, was on the phone from a wedding the night he got traded. So, yeah, they do a good job of having those guys available. I'm guessing it just didn't work out for one reason or the other.
Yeah,
and everyone will report to spring training, and we'll
talk to them.
Theoretically, move on. Yeah.
All right. Last thing, and very important, with Wade Miley coming back. What's your favorite Miley song?
Oh boy,
I did not obviously prep you for that. This crucial bit of information.
No,
I'm getting out of you.
No. So this is not my answer. But I was at a wedding last weekend, and obviously, Party in the USA is like one of the first five songs that plays at every wedding.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah, but that's not my answer.
No, it's a good wedding song.
Wow, that's a tough question.
It's a good like later in the evening wedding song, because I'm pretty sure most people think they know the words, but maybe don't know all the words.
Yeah, so what's yours?
Well, I mean, I don't have a great answer. Wrecking Ball is a good song.
Yeah, Wrecking Ball is good.
I the best thing she's done was the SNL parody of We Can't Stop when there was a government shutdown and the song was We Did Stop and she was playing. Oh, Michelle Bachmann, was she playing? She was playing one of the House of Representatives, and you had a spoof John Boehner in there, and it was hysterical. And I went back and watched it again because obviously the U.S. government and troubles making progress is in the news right now. In addition to Wade Miley, so I went back and watched it. It's very funny. It's not entirely safe for work. It's SNL, so like
yeah,
it's not bad, but it's not great. Yeah, that's the funniest thing she's done. But yeah, Wrecking Ball's a jam, man. It's a cliche answer, but I got nothing better.
Didn't she do a cover of Jolene?
Oh, yes. When she is tapping into her rock sensibilities,
yeah.
She is so good. She is so, so good. Her covers are fantastic.
But I don't know. I feel like I have to give an answer, so that might be my answer.
She sang with Dolly Parton. She sang Wrecking Ball, I think it was. I don't even remember for sure, but right on New Year's Eve. Miley Cyrus. Well done, Miley.
I didn't stay up till midnight, so I got nothing for you there.
All right, this is nonsense. Any last thoughts before I let you go?
Yeah, the Brewers are going to win 91 games this year.
I that's ambitious, and I appreciate your optimism.
Why not?
I don't think they will. I think they're going to win the 80s, and they might make the playoffs, and they might not. It's just going to hinge on one or two games just like this past season.
Well, if you need someone to give you some sunshine and rainbows until camp begins in 5 or so weeks...
You know, part of me, too, just...
I can do that.
We go back to 2021. The team isn't much different from that team, either. You know, you could see them catching whatever lightning in a bottle it was that made them run away with the National League Central.
Now you're listening.
They should have, in my opinion, failed in the end to match their franchise record for wins. Like, they kind of just fizzled at the end. I think they should have been a franchise record winning
team. Yeah,
that
should have been, like, the best team in franchise history.
Which I can't even wrap my mind around because now we just think of all the warts on that team because things went bad in the playoffs. But that team was sensational, and they have not changed much.
Yeah, no, it's not like they were relying on all world Christian Yelich either.
Right.
He was worse that year than he was last year.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. And the rotation was just awesome.
The rotation was
just awesome.
Yeah. That was the performance that you're, that's the pot of gold that you're still chasing. Yeah.
Yep. It was an all time showing from that group. And we'll see. We'll see. Maybe that's still in there. And if everybody stays healthy, who knows? All right, Kurt, that's what we got. We hopefully got things a little warmed up here in January. It's not that cold, though. It's all right here in Milwaukee in January. It's fine. And hopefully we contributed to a little bit of a feeling of optimism coming forth. The baseball season is still a couple months away, still some moves to be made probably. But thanks for tuning in to the Microbrew Podcast from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Find everything Kurt Hoke has at jsonline.com, including that mailbag that we referenced at the beginning of the episode. Yeah, I read some things too at jsonline.com. You can find me as well. I'm J.R. Radcliffe. You can find us both on Twitter. And we will chat with you again soon. Bye-bye, everybody.